Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sun.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard. Welcome back from a weekend of sports and, I don't know, sadness as well. Man, you know, it's tragedy. Young man, Jose Fernandez, pitcher for the Miami Marlins, killed in a boating accident, 24 years old. Tragedy. Just brutal. Obviously, you know, when you get older, you think about it. Maybe it could have been, you know, one of your kids out there. Very sad, very big tragedy for Major League Baseball, as well as his family and anybody involved. Just a tragedy. And of course, happened yesterday morning, early. And at least Major League Baseball had the sense to cancel the game. And, you know, it's, again, I don't, it's terrible, sad. But here we are, NASDAQ up around new highs. Markets no different, but I think something you should pay close attention to is the S&P has only got back to where it was when we said you should sell it. And of course, we think that that will be continued to be the case. We are looking to be spots to sell it. We know that we've got a bunch of dopes running running the hen house, as they say. And you know, when you look at things going on, I mean, is there any reason to believe that, you know, anything's gonna get better? I mean, we know that the central banks are running out of bullets. The Fed is running out of bullets, and they can talk their nonsense all they want about what their intentions are. Excuse me. But at the end of the day, we know they're running out of bullets. You know, Deutsche Bank, big problems in Germany. What does that mean to us? Well, right now it doesn't mean a hell of a lot. But again, that's just another sign. And of course, Merkel says no, that they're not going to bail them out. You know, I would hope that would be the trend going forward, that we don't bail out the banks any longer. This too big to fail crap, I think, is a bunch of horse crap. You know, why is anybody too big to fail? If you run your business correctly, it shouldn't be a problem. You know, there's people, obviously, the very wealthy are thrilled that, you know, Janet Yellen is still keeping the punch bowl near, but is it getting ready to get pulled and yanked away? I think that's something to think about. I think it's something that's probably possibly going to happen sooner than later. And it doesn't have to be only through the raise of interest rates. I mean, just watch the rates that trade on the board. You know, forget about what Yellen does. But there's just so many things that don't make a hell of a lot of sense. And one of the biggest things is, you know, everybody wants to talk about how good things are going, and yet freight shipping is the lowest or the worst level since 2010. Okay? Now, what does that mean? Well, it means we're not producing anything. It means we're not buying anything. It means we're not shipping anything. We talked this a while back about the Baltic Index, and again, that's freight. If we're not bringing in goods, it means we're not selling goods. It means we're not circulating money. It's ugly. Okay. Now, again, it doesn't mean that the stock market is going to go down. Let's not confuse the issues. It will eventually lead to a stock market going down. But in the meantime, we have problems and troubles. You know, once again, we miss on PMI came down again. Existing home sales came down again. I mean, you know, how long do we ignore the problems in the case for free money? How long is it that we allow this deflationary cycle that the Federal Reserve has created? Now, you know, obviously selfishly so, you know, if interest rates do rise, it will create a havoc, not with the average guy. The average guy didn't borrow money anyways, but it will create a dramatic position to the people who borrowed money with adjustable or floating rates, which most of those, you know, the loans are, that aren't, you know, that aren't long-term mortgages. You know, and is there an effect or a cause and effect? And of course, yes, there is. So it takes the debt, which is one of the highest it's been, or maybe the highest it's been, of debt ratio to GDP, and it pushes it even higher. Okay, so if we push it even higher, where does the money then come from? And that, you know, this whole conglomeration of unintended consequences built by the idiots at you know where, and by the manipulation of the central banks, give you some clear ideas that there's problems. But, you know, the longer we ignore the problems, the longer we sit by idly by and not take care of them, the more we're going to see a fallout. Now, again, I'm not calling for the end of the world. I don't believe that the world is coming to an end. I believe that we are in for an adjustment period. And the adjustment period is very simple. It's going to happen. It happens all the time. But we have to see some real change in the way that we do things. And I think the biggest change really needs to be is how much money the banks need to have in reserve. I don't think they have anywhere near enough of what they're supposed to, which is the bigger problem, because if the Fed is the lender of last resort, they have one job and one job only, which is to make sure that if there's around the banks, that the banks should have access to capital. But they have taken that to a whole new level. In the meantime, I don't think that the banks have anywhere near the amount in reserve that they're supposed to have. And that is a bigger problem, okay? Because in theory, the banks are creating money on their own, okay? Because when you can lend out at 9 times what your reserve is, well, if your reserve is supposed to be 10, if you can loan out 90, so you're laying out 9 times, which is, I'm not a big fan of that either, but okay. But if your reserve is 1 and you're loaning out 90, well, now you're loaning out at 90 times, which in theory creates more money into the system. Now, you can call me whatever you want, but to me, I'm just a math guy, okay? I just look at purely the numbers, and if I look at those numbers, they would certainly scare the hell out of me, okay? And not to mention the hidden debt that we don't know about yet, okay? I mean, this Deutsche Bank is just one in many that I think is going to be a bigger problem. But again, until the footprint shows up and says, hey, this is the time, what are we going to do? Okay, again, you're not going to fight it. You can't fight the market. You can't determine where it's going to go. And we'll see a change, and it'll happen. It won't announce itself, but at some point we'll see some sort of a change. But in the meantime, the only change here is that I'm going to step out here for a break and make sure that you know to go to libertytalk.fm to download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge. In the meantime, we are starting a new hedging class next week. I think you should consider looking at it, BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, this is Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back at the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Be right back.
Stay with me now.
Man. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and General Electric is showing up. They bring good things to life, but our friend Jane King always bring good thing to life. And Lila Max Media, what a great place. You got to watch. She's got a new station she's hitting up. That makes her now like about a million. And she's into the podcasting for kids. I mean, just she does everything. And, of course, a veteran of the street and has a lot of great knowledge. Jane King, welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks, Seth. And I hope, you know, it is New York, so we got a jackhammer going on right outside where I'm talking to you. So we might have a little, I don't know, background noise here.
Is it the same jackhammer that's going on top of a stump from Wells Fargo and Bresch from Mylan Pharmaceuticals?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, what a week to be a CEO. And, you know, I didn't get any attention, but a lot of the agriculture CEOs were in Congress this week, too, talking about all their mergers and being questioned about their mergers. So, yeah, Wells Fargo, I think, so probably got it the worst. I mean, that was kind of an epic takedown of John Stump there, what we saw going on this week.
Yeah, well, I don't know. We'll have a tag day for him making $19 million a year, and when they throw him out, he'll probably get a severance package of $100 million. You know, again, these are things, and we'll talk about this a little bit, but I think the first thing I really want to get to with you, my dear, is A, I know the podcast from your from the thing we did together with the for the students, for kids and parents and financial literacy went out, and that was great, and I thought the content was great, and the everything looked great. How did it go?
Okay, I mean, we just launched it really yesterday. So I don't have any kind of numbers or anything on it yet. I was going to give it a couple days and really trying to promote it on social media and asking some of my TV stations' websites to run it. But I thought it was just really fun. I thought it was very interesting. I've got a lot of good feedback from friends about it. And a lot of people said this is a subject that absolutely has to be talked about and has to be addressed. And so a lot of people are very supportive of what we're doing.
Well, I'm telling you, and I mean this sincerely, we know the talk, right? The sex talk with kids. But to me, this is a more important talk because the kids learn plenty about sex at school, but they don't learn about financial literacy at school. And
yeah, well, speaking of that, I have a 9-year-old son who just informed me he has a girlfriend. And then I heard from another parent that he was holding hands with her at school.
Wow.
Anyway.
Hey, maybe should we plan the wedding pretty soon? But
but no, you're right. And you know what? They're not all that dissimilar. They both really involve, you know, delaying gratification, making responsible choices, discipline, self-control, being knowledgeable. I mean, they're different subjects, but the process to get there are both very similar. And I believe that kids should be educated about sex as well as finances. And I think that that would prevent a lot of problems if we could just kind of have more, like, honest discussions about it and what really happens and not be afraid to talk about this thing.
Well, I mean, I just think in all seriousness and in personal opinion is kids do learn plenty about sex, and a lot of parents have the trouble of making the talk. I mean, we did it. We actually, there's a book they put out. But at the end of the day, nobody talks about financial literacy nor finances. And of course, when you get older, finances become more important than anything, and you need to know how to do and how to operate from there. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, our government doesn't know anything about finance. That we can obviously see. And, of course, we're going to have a new government coming into place here, you know, in about 4 or 5 months. And, of course, Monday night, probably one of the most watched events ever, the debates. What are you thinking there, kid?
I mean, I think if these viewership numbers turn out to be true, 100 million people watching the debate. I mean, the last year's Super Bowl had 113 million people. I mean, that is just far and away the most viewed thing on television. It's going to be stunning if they actually get these numbers. And I just, you know, I think about, like, well, what does Trump have to do? What does Hillary have to do? You know, what do they have to avoid doing? I mean, it's going to be just absolutely fascinating, and there's going to be a ton of pressure on both of them. And, I mean, I think, you know, in a way, like, Donald Trump has kind of been under a lot of pressure already. He's got so many criticisms, you know, from people in the Republican Party, and he's been made fun of, and, you know, and all this stuff called stupid and racist. And I mean, I think, you know, the pressure really is kind of, I mean, she hasn't gotten that much. And she really has performed well. And there's questions now about her health after the 9/11 ceremony, and she's going to be under hot lights. And I'm definitely going to watch, and I think it's going to be really, really interesting.
Well, I personally think this is where Trump puts her away. First of all, I do think Trump's going to win. That's my first thing. You know, I've said it before, and I think there's a lot of people out there that, you know, won't admit it, you know, freely, because obviously, you know, how could you vote for that pompous asshole? And, you know, and he's not the, well, I mean, I'm just saying that's what people think. And but I think when they go in the voting booth and they're in the privacy of their own thing, they're going to push that button that says Trump. I mean, it's funny. There's a show I do a couple times a week, and, you know, I kid around a lot with them. They're socialists, and, you know, they are on the far on the left. But the cameraman, you know, I always say to him, I said, I'll give you $5,000 cash, but I want a picture of who you pick when you go in the voting booth. Okay. Because I believe a lot of people are going to vote for Trump that would never admit to it in public.
Well, I think his arguments about, you know, here's the problem that, you know, I see in New York a lot is, you know, maybe this is self-created on his part, you know, and knowing how the kind of society we live in today, you know, but the things he's made, you know, people can't get past the race stuff and the women's stuff. And I agree, you know, this haven't been helpful, and, you know, there's better, more constructive ways to do and say things. But his arguments about corruption, rigged system, incompetence, I mean, those, I think, ring true with so many people, and I hope he focuses on that Monday night, because I just think so many people feel left out of this. So many people still don't understand why were the banks bailed out. And this whole Wells Fargo thing is just reminding everybody of how the system works. The woman in charge of that division left with $130 million. I mean, people are really pissed off about this stuff. And so I think if he, you know, sticks to those themes, I think he's got a really good chance of winning, because I think a majority of the public just feels like everything is rigged against them and they can't win no matter how hard they work.
And by the way, she deserved $100 million based on their compensation package. You know, a lot of it was stock options, which you get as being one of the executives. Again, look, I believe that this is not the only one who's ever done this. I believe, and the saddest thing, if you really want to look at it, from a real standpoint, instead of the way that the Hill looked at it from, because those are a bunch of idiots on the Hill that have no idea what they're asking. But really, they didn't steal money from the customer other than a few that might have got dinged on their credit reports. They stole from the shareholders, and they stole from the business. Okay, that's what happened. They did it for a compensation. So they had such stringent sales goals that at the end of the day, they were stealing money from the company. They weren't stealing from the customers. They didn't, you know, there might have been a few charges here and there, but overall, the money came out of the shareholders' pockets, not anybody else. And that's who should be in an uproar about it, because at the end of the day, that's what they did. They stole money from the shareholders, but now if you look from the shareholder side, well, you know, what they did wasn't good. But in the meantime, our stock was doing very well until a couple of days ago, and it's still only down 10%. So, again, I don't agree with what they did. Of course, it's against the law. It's illegal. And I'm even more upset that nobody will go to jail, and Wells Fargo will pay a big fine. And at the end, they'll make more money than they paid in the fine anyways. What do you think?
Yeah, well, actually, when I saw the fine, $185 million, I was like, are you kidding me? That's it? I mean, that's like Wells Fargo. I mean, but, you know, I think here's the thing. Like, I look at my bank accounts, and I'm just like, hey, I'm really, like, I'm getting this fee for this and this fee for that and this fee. And, you know, it's a few hundred bucks a year. But it's annoying. And those are accounts that I set up and knowingly did. And so, you know, the fact that there's people out there that, you know, a few hundred bucks a year might make a difference in their life. And they were having these accounts set up without their knowledge and being charged fees for it. You know, that's what's irritating.
Well, I know, and I'm with you, but I mean, you know, a lot of people could probably get credit cards that would have never gotten them before that needed them. You know, it's not
something.
No,
maybe,
yeah. I don't defend them. What I am against is I'm against the way that the regulators work. Again, this is a case that if you or I did something like this, we'd be going to jail. And they're just paying a fine and making money and dancing on their way. And if Stump has to leave or has to step down, you know, maybe Buffett will make him step down, he'll walk away with $100 million. So at the end of the day, I mean, really? I mean, are we going to really be this? And that's what I don't like. I hate this Capitol Hill crap. I just think it's ridiculous. Any thought there?
Well, it's obviously grandstanding. I mean, Elizabeth Warren. I mean, you know, here's the thing, like, there's things about her I kind of like. I'd like she sticks it to him a little bit. I would never vote for her for president. I know she'd take it way too far, but I do, and she's very effective at her arguments, and she's well-spoken, and I do like the fact that she's kind of loud and makes some noise, but again, I mean, I would never vote for her because I think that she would go beyond just correcting the system to overcorrecting, and it would be a disaster. So, but I mean, a lot of people were very impressed with her, and you know, when you got...
I agree. I like the Elizabeth Warren. I thought you did a great job. But Jane King, we've come to the end of our day, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much for being here. It's always great to have you.
Thanks, Todd.
Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Continuing Report, The Bubba Show. We'll be right back after the break.
And I've got a whole...
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the man, the myth, got it all, understands it. And Mr. Demeter, as we both thought, the Fed would do nothing. And I don't know if we both thought the markets would try to attempt to make another huge run, but they seem to be unwilling to ever cooperate and start to come down here. What do you think there, young man?
Well, you know, I've been bearish for a while, and I'm kind of sticking to it. We got a really good bounce. In a way, I'm kind of glad we got it because, you know, a lot of our readings were, you know, oversold, and I was questioning how can we really, you know, go much lower when, you know, things were as oversold as they were. The McClellan Oscillator, not necessarily one of my favorite indicators, but it was, you know, at levels... It was so low, it was at levels that we saw right after Brexit. So, you know, that was a concern. Now it's, you know, back into overbought territory. So it's, from my point of view, it's all good. We're going to, the gains we've seen are probably going to come off fairly quickly.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, again, I look at this and I wrote last night, and basically what I said was that we're being led around by a bunch of clueless, ignorant people that have no clue, and yet we continue to try to push, but at some point the real markets have to show up, and you know, they may at some point or not. I mean, again, we know that the markets are going to have a correction at some point. Obviously the question is always when. What are you seeing in general overall throughout the globe? I know you cover all the markets. What's your overall take of everything that's going on?
For just anything, or just S&P, or?
Well, I mean, just general. I mean, you know, I know you cover.
Yeah, well, with the S&P, I'm glad. Actually, another thing I'm glad about is that we got up and we filled a gap up to 2180, and we kind of it's not good to leave open gaps like that that we had from that Friday sell off September 9th. So now that's been closed. I'm seeing you know, that should now, you know, the gains there should dissipate. As far as commodities, you know, I think we've gotten some bounces here and there, and I think those, you know, mostly run their course. So I'm, you know, it's weird. I'm kind of bearish everything. So,
embarrass the world, sell it all, and go hide. So what? So we know that markets. Look at markets. Do what markets do, and we don't see much going on as far as is true growth. And of course, it's not just here. It's standard. And I mean, when you look around and you go, Deutsche Bank's in trouble and they need to might bail them out again. I mean, I think they've got more debt than anybody. I mean, your general consensus is still with the overall banks, right? I mean, you're still saying that they're still accumulating, they're still getting short, and they're going to continue to do that. And, of course, one of the things that they can do is they can outhold and outlast just about anything because they don't have to be forced to sell out. Like, a trader would be, forced out after markets made moves like this. They'll just continue to hold on and probably press their positions. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the way they operate. They keep pressing until they win. It's basically a big competition between the banks and CTAs. The amount of capital going into CTAs these days is much bigger than it was, say, even 10 years ago. So these two forces are sort of butting heads. And the commercials just are pretty systematic about if they're always buying on lower lower lows, they'll buy on higher highs, they'll sell. And CTAs do tend to play momentum, so they're usually often doing the opposite. If they want to see breakouts above moving averages before they buy, or so they're often buying into strength and selling into weakness, which is the exact opposite of what the commercials do. And, now that we've, for example, now that we've rallied up in the S&P, I would imagine, the banks have added to their short positions, which they have in the latest CO2 report. And I'm sure we'll see some more in the next one.
So are you, when you look at this, and of course you're purely a technical guy, you don't get involved with the gestation period of the market and worry about what's going on in the news, but I think that the S&P closed, it got what, back to close to 2180 and then closed back down. But I mean, basically that's the level. I mean, we talked a number of weeks ago and said around 2175 to 2205 was the level to be short anyway. So basically, if you had sold them up there, you'd still be just coming back to the same place and really probably just another opportunity to sell them again. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And, going back to your other question, too, about volatility, the banks, they did sell some volatility prior to the Fed, which was a smart move. And I'm pretty sure that they've bought back in. So, they still have a huge volatility position. And if you look at what they're how they're trading, the European style VIX options, there is a radical skew towards calls again, call premiums. So they're looking for volatility to really ramp up in August. In October.
Well, it could be August, maybe next year. No, I get what you're saying. So I mean, we've got we've got a market that the volatility once again dropped. It looked like we had a little life, and it's funny. Last week, I wrote the question to my people: is volatility here to stay? And of course, the answer is no. Immediately, we came immediately down to the bottoms again, which would make sense that the big commercials would be stepping up again here. I mean, but we're back down, in the 12 area. I mean, from just being in the 20s. I mean, it's really strange the action we get, and it happens so much faster now. Is there any reason for that?
For the speed of changes, I really think it's a function of the amount of money coming into the CTAs. I think and other sort of levered funds, they're taking on positions that 10 years ago you just didn't see these size positions or this fast of movement into or out of positions. And maybe it has to do with computer, the algorithmic trading as well. That could be a piece of it, but. My guess is that it's the amount of capital coming into CTAs.
Now, what are you seeing in the emerging markets? So they obviously, you sold them off. You had them pegged for a while, and not that they're not, you don't have them pegged now, but they sold off from when you said they were. It looks like they bounced back a little. What are your thoughts there now?
So they bounced back up to their highs, or they didn't quite make new highs, thinking of EEM here. Same thing with the EMB, which is the emerging market bonds ETF. My opinion really hasn't changed. The pattern I had, they both hit their top line, or declining lines there, and they both reversed from them, which is, you know, basically was saying that the bearish pattern was tested and it's held, and at least it did, you know, as of you know, it's past Friday, so I expect it's, you know, it's downside from here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I mean, what do you see in oil? I mean, I think oil is going to like 40 at least. I mean, you know, everybody keeps talking it up and chirping it up, but of course, I think we saw the action, and oil, you know, although it had a little bit of a rally, really just kind of gave it right back up anyway. So, what do you see in there?
Well, in oil, you know, we have a target around 42.70, I think, as of this Monday. I think we'll get a bounce there. What I'd really like to see is a bounce back up to the 50s, back up to, you know, maybe 53 would be ideal. Another place to go short. I personally think that oil is in a secular decline. I think electric cars are going to be a really big deal starting in the next. I mean, it's sort of begun, but you can see that GM and Ford, you know, have made major plans for electric vehicles, and the cost curves for those for electric vehicles will be, you know, below gas cars within, you know, 2 to 3 years. So you know, it's a very long term thing, and it's fundamental, it's not technical. But long story short, I think we have a bounce point in the 42s. I think we'll bounce back up. If we break below 42, let's say, then I think we're going all the way down to the mid 30s at least, and then eventually we think we're going down to probably low 30s before this you know, decline phase is over.
Wow, I mean, I felt that we'd get to 40 and then we'd make another run up and you know, get back top to 50. I mean, that's kind
of my base case. I would think the same, like 42, 50 back up to you know, the low 50s, and then you just short again. Yeah,
I don't think, you know, I mean, from a fundamental standpoint, you know, everybody talks about what's going on with OPEC and all the other crap. I go, it doesn't matter anymore. We have our own oil. We don't need OPEC. If you haven't noticed, we don't get these big spikes in oil when there's problems in the Middle East anymore, because we've got enough here, and we basically have 100-year supply in the United States of America. We don't really need to go anywhere else, and you would think within the next 100 years we might find an alternative source of energy, right?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, and I enjoy researching technology, and, you know, it looks to me that solar, which has its critics, but it seems to me that the cost curves on solar are going to put a lot of pressure on fossil fuels over the next, you know, 5 years.
If they let them. This is Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and of course, you got to check out his stuff. He's pretty much spot on the markets all the time. And, of course, we're going to talk about his gold special when we come back from the break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. When you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download. We're going to stop by here for a break and be back with Matt right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. We're coming right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, our resident expert chart reader, CMT. Got him. I got all these letters like a doctor. But Matt, you know, it's always great to hear about the gold special. I know that gold hit some wild and wicked moves last week, but yet I think you believe it still has one more big push to the downside. Tell us about the gold special and tell us what you think about gold.
Okay, sure. Well, with the gold special, we don't believe gold has bottomed, you know, hit the bear market bottom. I know we've rallied quite a bit. I think we're towards the end of that. I think we're going to fall, you know, pretty dramatically to the downside for one more big leg down, like you said. So we have a final support line that what we have is a special where when we get close to that line, we're going to send out a text and an email to anybody who signs up. It will say where we expect gold to bottom, you know, and be fairly precise. And then we need to, you know, for our, it's a free service to sign up. If we are right, and by right we have to hit within 3% of our target, and we have to rally up by 20%. If that happens, then we'll charge $49. So, but we have to be right for that to take place.
Well, I think you'll be right. I mean, I think you've been reading it pretty well. I mean, we had a nice move off of gold where you would have expected, you know, as a chartist, I'm sure you weren't surprised off the run up of a 1310. I mean, that was probably an area you might have been watching, and you know, obviously, but we are making, it looks to me, lower highs, and you should see one more blip down to the bottom, I would think, at some point. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we were. We were saying we were looking for a bounce because we had gotten oversold, and we were at some short-term supports. So we lightened up we remained short, but we cut our position in half. And now that we've had the bounce, we've added back to it. So in the near term, we actually could go a little bit higher. I think more likely we're going to turn right back down again. I'm not sure how long it's going to play out before we get. At some point we're going to get a really big leg down, and you know, we'll be talking about hundreds of dollars to the downside. It just hasn't happened yet. We're just, you know, kind of chopping sideways more or less. But for the short term, I think we, you know, it's kind of up in the air. We more likely we're going to head back down towards the 1300 level, probably bounce back up again, and do this one more time, and then we may get as high as 1400. That would be the highest I would see it going, and then we're going to see a massive move to the downside.
So, I mean, I would almost compare the pattern, and tell me what you think, somewhat to what the bonds have done. You called for the top of bonds, and they've basically done nothing but go down, you know, since then. I mean, they had a little bit of a spike, but basically they're down substantially, especially in the futures market. I mean, you know, basically from when you called it, it's like $12,000 a contract lower. But the pattern looks very similar to gold. Is that what you're looking at maybe, or is that the same thing I think you're looking for, just a quick, once it starts to go, it just kind of falls off?
Yeah, I mean, it's similar, and they're somewhat correlated, but the peak that we saw in bonds, I think, is the, you know, the end of the world, essentially, for bonds. I think, you know, we're not, that's going to be that high that's in place, I think, is going to be there for a very long time. Or, you know, we might make slightly higher highs, something like that. But in any case, that's one I don't think we're going to come back from or we'll go back to. With gold, I think, you know, there is a big bull market coming. We haven't bottomed yet, so.
No, I can see that. I mean, again, obviously, you know, I look at a much shorter time, you know, time frame myself, of a horizon. You know, I think, you know, obviously the bonds have been in a 35-year bull market, and you know, have work to do, and I do like gold as well. I think gold is going to go higher as we get there. I think, you know, gold will start its bull market at some point, and I'll wait for when you send me the signal so I know. But now we look at some of the other agricultural spaces. What are you seeing in the grain markets here? They've kind of held up fairly well, and I think soybeans have done exactly what we thought, so kind of stayed in that range. What do you think?
They've held up okay. What I'm concerned about in corn in particular is that we have a level which, you know, we tried to fumbled with on last time, but it's right around 345, and we weren't able to break above that this past week. There's a declining line that it ran into that it wasn't able to overcome again. I'm concerned there's another big leg to the downside in both corn and soybeans. I think wheat's okay. I don't think wheat has a whole lot more to the downside. It's so oversold on every time frame I look at.
Okay.
But, I would change. Here's what I think. I think we've got a big leg to the downside of both corn and soybeans. But if we were to break above 345, I would reconsider on corn. So we're probably going to take a short position this week. in corn. And if we break above 345, we will cover it and maybe even reverse.
And that what's making that and that what's making that and that's what makes a market, because I'm going to be long corn. I'm a buyer down at just under like 335, and I think that it will. I've been watching that 345, and I do believe it'll take it out. But we'll see. That's what makes a market. And what are you thinking in the beef space?
I think beef looks fine. I think, you know, live cattle is I can't see a real bearish argument. It's one of the few that I'm not bearish on. I would be bullish, neutral to bullish, because we hit a very strong support a few weeks back, and I think that may indeed be the bottom or may hold. Hogs, I'm not as bullish on. I think hogs are going to continue to break down. I think our final target there is 48, and I think and that would be in the October futures. So that's another 10-12%.
Wow. Well, that's not good for me, because I bought them, and you know, as I told them on TV, I said, "You guys better give me the Heimlich, because I'm choking on these hogs I bought." Up here, I thought 58 was a pretty crucial level, and when they busted down through there, they just straightly went down. I think that now is a pivotal. Which really, what you're saying is the same thing. It's a pivotal area where they better hold, or they are going down another 10 or 12%. Yeah. So, you know, your views of, you know, we see a market that's been quiet. We see markets in general that have not done a lot, and you know, we're just kind of hovering around these highs. The Nasdaq made another new all-time high. Are you seeing anything unusual that you haven't seen before in these markets, or is it just the status quo and you're just waiting patiently like you always do?
I guess just waiting patiently, as we always do. The NASDAQ in particular hit a target resistance line, a major one, what should be a top. I think that last week, I mean, I've said this before, we came close to it, and it was within our margin of error, maybe a month ago, when the NASDAQ last peaked. It was close enough to the line that we thought, well, you know, it's within the margin of error. But this new high that we made last week hit the line exactly, with very within, you know, 0.1% of what we were looking for. So now I feel very comfortable. We're short the NASDAQ, and that's one of our bigger positions. And I think that should be it. We should have at least a significant correction here in the NASDAQ. Running back to hogs just for a second, I want to agree with you and say this is actually a pivotal spot. It's a spot it's a good place to bounce from. I'm not sure that it will hold. If it does, then we're good. But I think, you know, if we break just a little bit lower in hogs, that'll unleash it to the downside.
All right. And, you know, as we float around and we watch basically the ignorance of the Federal Reserve and how they're manipulating markets, you got about 20 seconds for this answer. I know it doesn't apply into your charts, but is there anything that you look at when you see this kind of manipulation? Is there anything that says to you, hey, I got to look at something a little bit differently, or is it always the same status quo?
Is anything positive about the manipulation? I think it's just building up the distortion that's going to be, you know, that much, you know, crazier when, you know, create that much more volatility when it unwinds.
All right, so I mean, no, that's the story. That this is the world according to Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, and of course, Matt, you got to check out his stuff. And of course, I would certainly sign up for his gold special. I think that it's a no lose situation; you can't lose. So I think you definitely look at it, especially because most of you want to buy gold anyways. You might as well look for the best level. Matt, as always, thanks so much for being here.
It's always great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you the download of not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Ever to every. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Turn the quiet up.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.